Thank you, Sophie. I think you've built me up a little bit. And you were talking about Holy Spirit fire coming, and I said, Right, if you've got a Bible handy, we're looking at Romans 6, continuing on from last week, and verses 20 to 23. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Last week, Jeremy talked about choice and that righteousness is essentially about continuing to make right choices. Today's four verses are more focused on the consequences of those choices. Now, ironically, we're wired to make instinctive choices that preserve our physical being, such as Jeremy not wishing to be accosted by two handbag-wielding ladies on a tube station, as he described last week. Now, these choices are not so instinctive when it comes to our spiritual being. Rather, I think we are, thanks to Adam, I suppose, wired towards sin and so have to make a conscious choice towards righteousness. Now, as Paul states later in Romans 7, he says, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." Now, today's talk is focusing on slavery, and it sounds pretty depressing when you think about that topic. So how do I discuss these verses without beating us up and making most of us walk out of here trying to forget what was said? Well, if we start with the first premise, that God loves you just the way you are, and like any of his children, he wants us to be the best us that we can be. He wants us to do the right thing by making the right choices. So in this context, Henri Nouwen wisely said, "You don't think your way into a new kind of living, rather you live your way into a new kind of thinking." So if we are to make a step together on the right path, we can then reap the benefits of holiness, as it states in verse 22. And the result? Eternal life. So here's the pitch. The first thing I want to focus on is slaves to sin. Now, being a slave in the first century Rome meant that you had no rights, and in fact, you had no real choices. A slave with a kind master might think that, and often feel that they had a choice in what they did or what they said. But if their master ever decided that they were to do something else, they had no choice. They had to do what their master told them. In 2018, I might think that I have a say in what I wear and what I do in my house. But in fact, I know that when my wife says to me, "You're not going out looking like that," that I have to go upstairs and get changed in what she tells me. Clearly, I got out this morning without her seeing what I look like today. So, similarly, if we live with sin, we might think that we are in control, but actually it is sin that controls us. Paul is pretty unequivocal about this resulting in death. And here, in contrast to what he talks about in terms of righteousness, he's referring where righteousness being eternal life, it is a spiritual rather than a physical death that he's referring to. Now, I recently took my family to New Wine in Somerset for a week of camping and spiritual investment. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of family camping, and was hopeful that, you know, this was the hottest summer since 1976, that it would at least be dry. So this is week one. I arrived at the campsite to wind and torrential rain. I did think that God was testing my Christianity on that day. My wife even stated, sitting in the car, that this was the last time we're doing this. Now, however, the tent was erected, the weather improved, the speakers were brilliant, and by the end of the week, we were booking our week next year in Peterborough. Why? Because we'd experienced New Wine, which is all of that and more. So the consequence of sin, spiritual death can only be understood when we've experienced spiritual life. Just as we only respect physical death because we're experiencing physical life. When you've tasted and experienced God, we recognize that sin can never satisfy us deep down. That running after power, pleasure, lust, and money might give us a brief taste of the trappings of righteousness, such as joy, love, and security. However, these can only be truly achieved when we choose to hand the keys of our life over to Jesus and let his Holy Spirit lead us into true righteousness. Are we aware of areas in our life where sin has control? For some, it may be the more obvious areas of lust and anger. For others, it might be our career. The desire for power and advancement in work is very seductive, often giving us a sense of self-worth and respect, when really we should be getting those from our Heavenly Father. Where else might we be prioritizing things above God's and his priorities? What are the idols that we put above God? Recently, it was highlighted to me that for some of us, it could even be our family that we put up as an idol. Whether it's your parents or your children, do they stop you doing the right thing? Or do you do the wrong thing because of it? You're doing it for your family. Likewise, Abraham's test was to see whether he put anything above God, even the promise and child that God had given him. Abraham was prepared to sacrifice his son as he put God first. And this was credited to Abraham as righteousness. This then also became the template for God's redemptive plan for us. So are we aware of where there is sin in our life that is controlling us, or have we sinfully made idols out of things, relegating God and his influence over our lives? So rather than continue to walk down this path, Paul reminds us that we have life in Christ and therefore an alternative path that leads to eternal life. So the second slavery, slave to righteousness. As Paul says, the analogy here of slavery is not perfect. After all, we've been set free from the chains of sin through Jesus, purchasing us through his death on the cross. Yet this awakening to what is right and what is wrong spiritually means that we can truly, truly choose, as Jeremy highlighted last week. So the benefits of righteousness are holiness and eternal life. These benefits are not just available when we get to heaven, but right now. So what does that mean? Well, if we continue with the analogy of slavery, a slave who grew up with a master would soon learn what pleased their master and would look to do those things before they were asked. If we are now slaves of God, then similarly we should learn what pleases God and do likewise. Now, we know that nothing we can do can earn us the right to be a slave of God, for that is already done. But as we spend more time with God, we learn what is right and therefore what choices we need to make in our lives. As God says in Leviticus 11:45, "Therefore be holy as I am holy." The benefit of being a slave to God is to be therefore taught and assisted by his Spirit to be holy. The fruits or outpouring of holiness spelt out in Galatians 5, when we learn that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are Holy Spirit-inspired actions which lead to holiness. God knows how hard it is to do the right thing, which is why he provides Spirit to help us. Yet how often do we seek his Spirit when trying to make those right choices? My youngest son has always been into Lego, and to begin with, I made the models for him, but as he got older, he wanted to make the models for himself. Initially, like all blokes, he kind of thought the instructions were there for amateurs. And he would put the pieces together, and it would look like the model, but quite often, at the end, when we looked at it, certain things didn't work, and we invariably have a handful of pieces that probably should be in the model. So what I had to do then was take the whole thing apart and start again, explaining we open only the packets when it instructs us to open the packets. We get the pieces ready for each page before we put it together. And now he's building the models himself with a little bit of oversight from me. And it usually is related to pirates and or superheroes. I mean, the example is a poor one, but it's the same with our Father as we examine our lives and know that we have areas where sin has control or there are things in our life that have become idols, how often do we try in our own strength to fix these things? When God is an instruction manual and he's there to help us, he's there with his Holy Spirit to counsel us and lead us in the paths of righteousness. Yet often we don't utilize these. Sometimes we're not even aware they're available to us. So we shouldn't act as citizens of earth, but as citizens of heaven. So that with the hope of the help of the Holy Spirit, we can start living our way into a new kind of thinking and live life to the full. So in summary, what kind of slave are you? A slave to sin or a slave to God? Have you experienced God to truly understand the consequence of being a slave to sin? Or are you still trying to work out your righteousness in your own strength? Jesus said that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Not only is he offering fullness of life now and eternal life, he's also wanting to walk with you, talk with you, and carry you as needed, as he leads you into being the best, most complete you that you can be. So there's the pitch. The choice is yours.